This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. The militia groups that patrol Iraq were supposed to turn in their weapons well over a year ago. That's an order that most have ignored. But today, one of the most prominent militia groups is promising to hand in its heavy weapons. Fighters loyal to Muqtada al-Sadr fought U.S. forces for months, but reached an agreement with Iraqi and U.S. officials over the weekend. NPR's Emily Harris is covering this story from Baghdad. And Emily, what are the elements of this agreement?
Well, today, members of the Mehdi army, Muqtada al-Sadr's militia, are supposed to turn in weapons to Iraqi security forces. Also, they're supposed to disarm any improvised bombs that are lying around the streets in Sadr City, which is their stronghold neighborhood in Baghdad. The U.S. says it won't fire unless it's provoked, if these conditions are met. Also, it appears that some kind of amnesty may be reached for leaders of the Mehdi army, and there's money involved, both money to buy back these weapons. And also, yesterday, the interim Iraqi government announced they would be sending $500 million worth of reconstruction money into Sadr City.
You just said amnesty. This is a group that has been battling against the United States that's responsible for killing Americans. Will people who've been blamed for killing Americans have a chance at amnesty?
It's a little bit unclear exactly what the amnesty part of the program is going to entail. The leaders of the Mehdi army have been talking about a release of prisoners and a promise to not go after leaders of the Mehdi army who have not yet been detained. The National Security Advisor for Iraq and also a top military official yesterday told NPR that if people are convicted of serious crimes, they probably won't have a chance at amnesty. So it may wind up just being people who have been detained. And it's not clear. For example, one of the leaders of the Mehdi army who has been involved in not direct negotiations but in approving these negotiations is a wanted man as far as the U.S. military is concerned. He's one of the people who's been demanding that the U.S. and the Iraqi security forces not go after leaders such as himself. But how that's going to resolve out isn't completely clear.
Now, you mentioned also a weapons buyback. How does this program compare to other efforts to buy back weapons from militias?
There have been weapons buyback programs going on through Iraq regularly. For example, people come up to bases and hand in weapons and can get paid for them. The problems have basically been that the U.S. shells out a lot of money, weapons come in, but it doesn't make a serious dent in stopping the insurgency. And perhaps the closest parallel to the program that's supposed to start today was in Fallujah last April. Fighters there were supposed to turn in weapons as a part of an attempted negotiated settlement, and that was after intense clashes between insurgents and Marines out there, very similar to the fighting that's been going on in Sadr City recently. But that weapons turn-in program was just a complete failure. They showed up with one truckload of rusty weapons, and the U.S. basically dismissed it as junk.
So how are U.S. officials approaching this buyback program as something that is going to lead to peace or something that they're just going to try?
Well, they're hopeful that it will lead to peace. But I wouldn't say that they're confident that it will. They've had deals with Sadr before where, in their view, he has broken. But at this point, they're kind of up against the gun. There are elections scheduled for the end of January, and both the U.S. and the Iraqi interim government want to regain control of areas where insurgents are still active in Iraq before those elections are due to take place. The idea here is if they can get weapons out of people's hands and show them, look, there's a way to get power through the political process, this might entice some of the people who've been fighting the United States and the Iraqi security forces to lay down their guns and enter politics.
Now, this effort at a peace deal comes at approximately the same time that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld paid a visit to Iraq.
That's right. And one message that Donald Rumsfeld had was that he expects violence in Iraq to continue, certainly for the weeks ahead. One main question on a lot of troops' mind here is when are they going to be able to go home? And Rumsfeld said that he didn't foresee any reductions in U.S. troops before the Iraqi elections, which are due to be held at the end of January. Basically, Rumsfeld said that the insurgents can't win militarily, but he did say they're trying to win a test of wills and a battle for morale. And one piece of that is sort of the ongoing violence we see here that's become quite routine. For example, this morning, two U.S. soldiers were killed by a rocket attack on their base in Baghdad.
We've been talking to NPR's Emily Harris, who is in Baghdad, where one of the most important Iraqi militias was scheduled to begin turning in its heavy weapons today. Emily, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.